Welcome to the Connect Kindness podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans.
In today's episode, we interview Gary Oppenheimer, the founder of AmpleHarvest.org. Gary and his team envision an America where millions of gardeners eliminate wasted food, malnutrition, and hunger in their own communities.
Gary shares with us the inspiration behind starting AmpleHarvest.org and how he had a vision of connecting gardeners with local food pantries to provide fresh food for people in need. We discuss how within the first 5 years of starting his organization, Gary was recognized as a CNN hero. He spoke about food waste on the TEDx stage, and he was also invited to the White House. Gary is passionate about helping people and one of the most interesting change makers that we've spoken to this past year. So without further delay, this is our interview with Gary Oppenheimer, the founder of AmpleHarvest.org.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness podcast today. Can you tell our listeners what is AmpleHarvest.org and what needs do you serve?
First of all, thank you for inviting me to be on this podcast. AmpleHarvest.org is a nationwide nonprofit that I founded in May of 2009 to address the issues, the two issues side by side of millions and millions of people in this country who are what we call hungry, but who don't have access to healthy, fresh food, which is really important. And the millions and millions of people who are gardeners, not farmers, but backyard gardeners who grow more food than they can use or preserve or share with friends and have historically wanted to donate it and thought they couldn't. And I designed AmpleHarvest.org as a program that would enable to bring these two problems together so that on a sustained and sustainable basis, gardeners across America could donate their surplus harvest to a local food pantry for the rest of their gardening life.
Gary, what was the inspiration behind starting AmpleHarvest.org?
There are two. One goes back to my childhood, which is where my parents, my grandparents kept on saying to me, finish what's on your plate. Kids are starving in Europe. Mind you, I was born after World War II. The second was I was invited to run a community garden in northern New Jersey, where I live in West Milford, New Jersey. And in an initial meeting with these people, that was 2007 or eight, when I met with these people, one of the people said they were really frustrated with the fact that they, towards the end of the summer, people were getting bored, overwhelmed, going on vacation, food was being left in the garden and going to waste. And I myself had in earlier years been struggling with trying to donate excess food from my own garden. But I answered that person. I said, well, if we're going to have an ample harvest, the very least we could do is donate it to food banks or food pantries. I'd never said that word ample harvest before, by the way, just rolled off of my tongue. So I grew up hating waste. And I'm also, by the way, my background's in technology. I'm what they call an aging geek. So I had a technology background, and I like solving problems. And I also don't so much think out of boxes as I just don't see the box at all. And when I looked at this entire problem and did a little bit of thinking about it in March of 2009, I woke up having had an epiphany and I realized, wait a minute, this is an information problem and it can be solved. I realized the problems were that these two different communities were having with the food pantries didn't offer fresh food because they thought they couldn't, and they couldn't afford the refrigeration. And the gardeners were not donating food because they were misinformed. They were told, you know, like everybody else at food drives, jars, cans, boxes, no fresh food. They were being told you couldn't donate it. The gardeners were misinformed about donation. They were also, by the way, missing information about where do I donate it and when. And the food pantries were misinformed, thinking they couldn't accept it. And that morning I woke up and realized, and I'm going to use a word that didn't exist back then, but that I could Uberize the entire system. I could actually flatten the system. Instead of food going from my garden to a food drive, to a food bank, to a food pantry, to a hungry family, which does take too long, that food could go from my garden to a food pantry down the street to a hungry family on a same day basis. The principle is really no different from donating clothing to a thrift shop in your community. You just take the clothing you don't want, give it to them, and they get it to somebody else and has a second life. We're now applying this to food.
That's incredible. So you mentioned just now that it was more of an information problem versus an inventory problem, which I think is opposite to what everyone else thinks in the world, right? So Can you dig a little deeper on how that problem was solved and why, what needed to change for it not to be an information problem anymore?
A piece of that I can thank to my friend Tristram Stewart in the UK, who is the global expert and thought leader on what people now call food waste, what I call the waste of food. We don't lack food. If we have hungry people and you don't have enough food, that's one thing. But if you're throwing away 40% of your food and 50% of your produce and people are hungry, we have the food. The problem is the food isn't getting to where it's needed. And so what the idea is, you just figure out where you're losing the food, why isn't it getting to the people, and use the food you already have. That's the simplest solution you can think of is, if you have a hole in your pocket and coins are falling out, don't go asking people for more money. Sew the pocket, stop losing the coins in your pocket. Same principle. When I grasped that the waste of food was a huge problem and the scale is staggering, I looked, where's that happening? And I realized right off the bat, it's happening in gardens. And everything that you've heard about food waste, or I should say the waste of food, doesn't include the gardens because nobody really looked at that. They always are looking at stores, at factories, your kitchen, restaurants, et cetera, all sources of the waste of food. But nobody's asking you, what's in your backyard? What do you do with all those tomatoes and zucchini that you can't eat? I didn't know really what the numbers were. In early 2019, I spent some time digging around. Now, I learned from the National Gardening Association that back then we had, I think at the time it was 38 million people in this country who garden. Today it's 62 million, by the way. But nobody asks you if you're a gardener. There's no paperwork. You simply dig a hole in your backyard, put tomato plants or plant seeds, whatever you want to do. And boom, you're a gardener. And then suddenly in September, boom, you're overwhelmed with food. And your neighbors will only take so much. One of the things I've learned in the early days of my gardening is only so many cucumbers you can give to a friend and still have them call you a friend. And the other piece of this, I think it's important, is the psychology of who gardens. First of all, historically, the people who garden are predominantly women, 35 to 85 years old, although now with the pandemic, more younger men are getting into the equation. And when you garden, it takes a lot of time and energy and caring for the plants. There's a great deal of altruism involved. As a matter of fact, there's a cliche really like, the best fertilizer is a gardener's shadow. I mean, you're spending a lot of time over those plants. You know the value of the food. You don't want to see that go to waste. And you have read about hunger. So this was an opportunity I had realized where I don't need to convince people to donate food. They already want to. I just need to enable it. And enablement, that's largely an information thing. It's not a question of me badgering you. It's a question of me opening up a blocked door so you can do what you've always wanted to do.
You mentioned that you had a vision in March 2009. Can you kind of tell us about that vision and what ultimately became ampleharvest.org?
I woke up in March of 2009 one morning with what I call an epiphany. My evangelical friend said the Lord was working through me. If it makes them happy, that's fine. For me, this is just an aging geek with an idea. And I sat down at my computer and I opened up a PowerPoint just to draw some ideas out. That's how I was mapping it. At the end of a 4-hour session, I had built what is largely today Ample Harvest. It just came to me. This was not me having to do any great math problems. It was not me having to figure out how to move trucks around or all these other logistical things. All the pieces were there. All I had to do was connect the dots. The gardeners are there. The food pantries are there. The hungry families are there. They're all in the same neighborhood and they all want the same thing, except none of them knew that it could be made to happen. And when you just look at something from a different perspective, you realize it's a connecting the dot thing. So once I put this presentation together for myself, and I still have it, by the way, I started doing homework, a reality check. Can this really work? And I started talking to people who were in the food field. There was a a family in a neighboring town who were giving away eggs to food pantries. They just won an award for giving away their 2,000th dozen eggs. Try to say that several times fast. Another guy in New Jersey from America's Grower who does gleaning, and he was giving, I mean, I was talking to these really smart people, learning about what they thought of the idea, learning about what I shouldn't be doing. I don't like making other people's mistakes. I'd rather make my own. So I did my due diligence stuff. And then I reached out to a friend of mine who's one of the co-inventors of an older search engine you may remember called AltaVista. And I said, Adam, I got this idea and I need some web designer, somebody to help me. And he gave me some direction. I found two wonderful people. One is a woman in Missouri who herself had personal experience with food pantries. Another was a data guy from a bank here in New Jersey. I gave them my idea and we mapped it out. And from, I'd say in a 7-week, I think it was, period of time, it all came together. As a matter of fact, what you see behind me here is what it looked like on the first day when it rolled out. So in the time that we did this, she worked on this beautiful design. He worked on the data engine stuff. And then on May 18th, which was 3 days later than I had originally planned, I had something out there. The two designers said, good luck, because now it's on my, you know, it was just me. And I started digitally knocking on doors, contacting food banks. I contacted, I started with Catholic charities, interestingly. And there's nothing religious per se about ampleharvest.org, but 70% of food pantries are in house of worship. So why not start with the large Christian organizations to say, let your food pantries know. They were wonderful. Within, I think, several days, every parish, every church, in Catholic church in America knew about it. I started working with Feeding America. I started calling up different gardening groups and stuff, but this is still just an aging geek with an idea. I finally stumbled on a gentleman named Jonathan Bloom. Jonathan had written a book called American Wasteland, which is a wonderful book on food waste in America. We had a 1-hour phone call, and the next thing I know, he did an amazing podcast. A blog about ampleharvest.org, and that suddenly the skies opened up and the sun was out and everybody had heard about it. I then reached out to a dear friend of mine, father of the internet, actually. He's one of the designers of the original internet, Vint Cerf, at Google. I said, Vint, I've got this great idea. Can you help me? He connected me to the right people. Google came on board and we got a Google advertising grant. Normally at the time, I think it took 6 months to get an approval. I got it in several days. It took off, and the media became aware of it. I was talking to reporters. I knew I was onto something when on the 150th day, I believe, that ampleharvest.org was live, which was in October, I believe, of that year. And it happened to be the World Food Day. The 1,000th food pantry had signed up on ampleharvest.org. So this is just me. It's not yet a nonprofit. It's just an aging geek. And it was a horrific time to roll out a program like this because a blight was wiping out the potato and tomato crop in the Eastern Seaboard. If you may remember, 2019, at least in the East, had a cold, wet spring, which is not good for that family of plants. Regardless, it kept on going. It kept on growing. I was finally connected to somebody at the USDA who got very excited. He ran the Master Gardener program. Thanks to USDA, this ended up getting to the White House. Michelle Obama actually wrote about and spoke about ampleharvest.org. In April 2010, I am named CNN hero. And you can see the video if you wanted ampleharvest.org/CNN. I think it was in 2011, I was invited to do a TEDx talk on ampleharvest.org, which I will tell you was the scariest 12 minutes of my adult life. And you can see that at ampleharvest.org/TED. I believe it was December 2012, my wife and I were invited to attend the White House holiday party. I got to meet President Obama and the First Lady. I think I had 7 White House visits in the Obama administration because Her Let's Move program was really big on both, you know, exercise and eating healthily. Meanwhile, I had incorporated as a nonprofit, started bringing people in to help grow the organization. It was taking off. I had stumbled on something that was really needed in America, something that people kept on looking at and say, how come nobody else thought about this before? Which is a great question. By the way, the odds are high that people thought about it. The difference is that they didn't do anything with it. And I said, I'm not gonna let this one go. So it continued to grow. I was nominated for the World Food Prize in 2014. Today, this is December 2021, we have 8,000 food pantries part with ampleharvest.org in 4,200 communities in all 50 states. And we have major corporate partners, including Google, Deloitte, Bonnie Plants is a big one. We have a big box chain coming on board, but I can't tell you the name yet, but keep an eye out. And we have a wonderful board, we have wonderful, wonderful staff, but we've stuck to the simple idea that the solution to hunger is in your backyard.
Gary, I knew today was gonna be like an incredible interview with you, but I didn't know that we'd be in the presence of a celebrity. Like the things that you've achieved so far is just awesome. You know, like awesome. That's what I think, you know, when you come up with a concept, a PowerPoint, did you ever think that it'll be where it is today? That's my first question to you. And then also my second question is going to be, I think the thing that makes your nonprofit unique is that you connect these gardeners and places where they can donate the food, and then you step out of the photo, and that's how you've been able to scale. So correct me if I'm wrong. So those are my two questions to you.
The first question, did I think where it was going to be? No, I wasn't focused on any of the big stuff because I had no idea where this was. There was no planning in this. This is, I would have been thrown out of the Harvard Business School. No business plan, no marketing plan, no financing plan, no plan and no experience and no expertise. I mean, my background was in computers, in programming, in electronic mail. And I've invented other things in the past, but nothing on this scale. So I had neither the expectations nor even the hopes and dreams of this would be like this. I just knew that I couldn't let this not happen. Yeah. All right. But how it was going to grow, I don't know. I did a great deal of guerrilla marketing. I literally, instead of Google alerts to let me know when a newspaper, an article or whatever came out that mentioned hunger or food bank or whatever, and I would call up 20 reporters a day. I got a great follow-up story for you, blah, 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 blah. And we do that. I really did put together a really good press media page on our website. It was so good that we were finding that TV stations were actually doing news stories about ampleharvest.org and not even bothering to call up and ask questions. Yeah, I had no idea of how it would be taken. And actually, let me also say this. I didn't know if I was going to get trampled by the elephant in the room, Feeding America. Feeding America's massive network of food banks, they could have looked at what I was doing as competition. And, you know, an organization like that was perfectly in a position to say, go away, little boy. Instead, they stepped up and said, you're doing something we can't, and we're going to work with you to help make it happen. And they've been wonderful partners. We've partnered with nearly every Feeding America food bank in the country to help us get to the tens of thousands of food pantries. So did I know what was going to happen? No. I basically described to some people as I shot an arrow at night in the fog at a moving target and made a bullseye. All logic says it should never have succeeded, and yet it did. And I'm sorry, what was the second question?
So don't worry. The second question was how you've been able to scale, right? How you've been able to create this environment where you connect these people, but you don't need to be in that conversation for every single connection that you make. And I think that's what makes your nonprofit unique.
Most people think that the solution to hunger is more food. And if there's more food, you have to manage the food. You have to get the food, move the food, and feed the people. And if you're doing that, you get killed by the logistics. You have to build your own version of UPS to move all that food around the country. And I've actually had people say, Gary, why don't you get trucks or whatever? And I had realized this wasn't a food problem. This was an information problem. So once I, for lack of a better word, introduced the gardener to the food pantry, the passion of the gardener to donate, the need of the food pantry would take over. We're not needed. This is almost analogous to me, Crystal, if I were to introduce, you know, a man and a woman to each other, who I think would be compatible. I don't need to be with them on their future dates. They will build their own relationship. I merely had to do the introduction and then get out of the way. The funny thing is, there've been some people in Yiddish introducing a man and a woman. It's called a shidduch. And it's like arranged marriage type of stuff. And some people have said that that's essentially what we're doing, is we're setting up a shidduch. I don't think so. But the point is that the problem was the gardeners didn't know that they could donate the food, nor to where. And by the way, the other thing they didn't know was when to donate it. And that's a super important piece of ampleharvest.org. That's an important part of ampleharvest.org. If the food pantry only distributes food on Sunday afternoons and you show up with your tomatoes on Monday, well, that's generous, but now they have to do something with the tomatoes until the following Sunday. But if you knew they were giving out the food on Sunday afternoon, why not get the food to them Sunday morning? So now the food goes from your garden to the pantry to the hungry family in hours. What we did is eliminate the need for the pantry to have refrigeration and storage, which is a huge plus. And it also means the hungry family gets food fresher than you and I can buy in the supermarket. So the idea with ampleharvest.org that allows it to scale is that we don't have to be everywhere. We don't even have to be anywhere. Amazon is really successful and doesn't have a single store. You don't know where the product is coming from. All you know is they got some stuff, you got a front door, and UPS or FedEx or somebody else is delivering it. And that's all you have to be really worried about, is the connecting of these particular things. There's a similarity in some ways between ampleharvest.org and Amazon, from the standpoint that I didn't know that this particular product exists, or I didn't know that there was a store that could sell it to me. And Amazon says, I got the products and you don't have to worry about the stores. And again, once the gardener knows to where to donate and to when, they'll do that for the rest of their gardening life. So on average, you could imagine, if you start gardening, maybe you're 25 or 30, you go on into your 70s, give or take, you got 40 years of gardening, 40 seasons. That's a lot of food. And I'm going to say something that's not good to say during a pandemic, but the program is viral in nature, because you, the gardener, start telling your neighboring gardeners about St. Mary's or Beth Shalom or whatever food pantry in the neighborhood, and they start donating, and they've never even heard of ampleharvest.org. You, in effect, become the vector for the information. So, in effect, what we did to make you aware of the food pantry, you now start doing with your neighbors to make your neighbors aware of the food pantry. It's viral in nature. And no shots are needed.
It's mind-blowing to me how you were able to scale from 2009, you know, all the way to visiting the White House. I'm interested in that process. What is what was your biggest challenge or your biggest struggle in scaling?
The biggest challenge we've had has been funding. And the problem isn't that people don't like ampleharvest.org, they love it. And the problem is it doesn't work. It works. The problem is it's unlike any other program. When you first look at ampleharvest.org, depending upon where you're coming from, you either think, well, you're a gardening program or you're a food bank program. And we're neither. And so people who are going to write a check, whether you're a foundation or maybe you're just an individual person, your first thought is, are you a food bank type program or are you a gardening program? And when they start to realize that you're not, it puts some, it stops some processes. One of the questions in the early days I used to get asked was, well, what do you do in the winter? Well, let's start with this question. we're working 52 weeks a year. There's a provincial nature to the question, because if you're in the Northeast and what are you doing in the winter, you're ignoring the fact that people garden in the southern part of the country all year long. But it's also like asking a storm drain on a highway, what do you do on a sunny day? The answer is nothing. I'm just waiting for a rainy day to take the water off the road. It is there to remove the surplus or the excess water. AmpleHarvest.org is there to eliminate, to move the surplus food to where it's really needed. We actually put a document together, and you can find it at ampleharvest.org/defining the difference, which explains what we're not before it gets to what we are. And it's important because we're not a gardening program. We don't help you set up a garden. We don't teach you how to garden. We don't give you seeds. We have wonderful partners like Bonnie Plants that are perfect for helping you garden. And we are not a food bank or food pantry program. And we don't also teach you how to cook either or anything like that. We're filling a gap that people hadn't previously seen before. So the funding was been a, it's been a huge problem. There's an adjunct point to that, that only nonprofit people will know about, but there's something called an NTEE code, National Taxonomy of Exempt Enterprises. These are the codes that are given to all nonprofits, whether you're a school or a shelter or whatever. And these codes define what you are. Are you a school? Are you a house of worship? Are you a hospital? Are you whatever? And that's how foundations give their money. They are looking for the NTE code. They want to find a research organization, or they want to find a medical organization, but they stopped making new codes in 1995. So all the new issues, food waste, climate change, gender equality, all these newer things, there are no codes for. So now you try to get pigeonholed into codes that are close to, but they're not, you know, gun control is not a violence program. Gun control is its own issue. Climate change is not the environment. It's related, but it's its own issue. And food waste is not hunger. It's related, but it's its own issue. So we've struggled a great deal. We've been fortunate when we've had corporate partners, some wonderful ones, large or small. Google, again, I'm going to mention Bonnie Plants because they've just been wonderful. And a bunch of other companies have stepped up as corporations to say, we get it. We love you. We're going to help you. And many, many, many wonderful individuals. As a matter of fact, last year, 20 Mariah Carey reached out to her followers about Ample Harvest, which is just lovely. With the foundations, it's been much, much more difficult. It's also very difficult to document what you are accomplishing, because in the funding world, in the foundation world, I should say, if they're a food funder, they're going to ask the question, well, how many people did you feed? How much food? And you can't really answer the question because it's the wrong question. The question should have been, how many gardeners are now connected to food pantries? Then the food by default follows. So answering the question to a food-based funder is a challenge. So money has been the biggest thing. And you need them. I had one person years ago say, you're on the internet, why do you need money? And it was a good question. And I'm also fast on my feet. And I said, so are eBay and iTunes. But without the right technology and people, they wouldn't work. The money is AmpleHarvest.org gets as donations is for the staff and the technology. And the biggest challenge is reaching 62 million people, educating them about the opportunity that they can donate the surplus food. That's how the money gets spent. And if anybody, by the way, wants to see our papers, they're public, ampleharvest.org/audit and ampleharvest.org/990, are publicly available documents, you can look at it. But that has been the biggest challenge. Nobody has ever questioned the efficacy or impact of our work. The primary challenge has been supporting it. My wife volunteers at a local animal shelter, and they have an easier time raising money locally than we do nationally. And the reason is she's got puppies and we don't.
That's hilarious. You got to put some puppies in a garden, and then we can probably talk about some marketing going on.
Yeah, you know, the idea of putting puppies in the garden is cute until they dig up the plants.
That's hilarious. You're so right. You are so knowledgeable with just all the life experiences that you've kind of went through to get where you are today. If you could give one piece of advice, this is your shining moment right now, what would it be to anyone listening?
That is a great question. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to do a little bit of show and tell. Years ago, part of my being an aging geek, I was a sales representative for an organization, a company called MCI Mail. It was an early email system, pre-internet. And the guy, Bob Harcharek, basically founded, put these, had a statement, a motto, that's what I want to say. And he had these printed up as ceramic plates. There you go. And it says, to do the impossible, you must first believe it isn't. I keep this as a constant reminder, because when I founded AmpleHarvest.org, I actually had many people said, you can't do it. Somebody, if it could have been done, somebody would have done it. I had a New Jersey state official who said to me, do it in New Jersey. And if it works, then go to other states. And I said to him, New Jersey and New Mexico have the exact same problem. I'm not going to do it that way. I believe in doing things that are sustainable, sustained, and scale. Those are all important. If you have a really good idea, come up with a solution that will make it applicable to any place in the country or any place where that problem exists. Doing it locally doesn't help the other people. So find solutions to problems that are that actually solve the problem. You know, feeding hungry people doesn't solve a problem except that the person is not hungry that day anymore, but doesn't end hunger. Look for root causes of different problems and try to find them. If your boat is sinking, bailing isn't the answer. It's plug the hole. Don't let people tell you that it can't be done. They're only telling you that they can't do it, or more likely they're afraid to try doing it. I would also make the argument that it's okay to fail. Try things out. You're not always going to succeed, but it's always going to be a learning experience. You can improve on it. I've told my staff repeatedly that I'm fine with taking risks. I'm fine with the mistakes, but don't repeat anybody else's mistake and don't make your own mistake twice. This is how you move things along. And lastly, I would say that whatever you do and however successful it is, or maybe it's only partially successful, you're going to leave the world somewhat better than you found it. And that's the best thing you can say about your life is the place is better because I did something.
That is great advice. Gary, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today and learning about AmpleHarvest.org. For our listeners who want to get involved with your organization, how can they get in touch with you? And how can they find more information about AmpleHarvest.org?
Okay. Well, if anybody wants to get in touch with me directly, just email info@AmpleHarvest.org. If you want to donate, we take donations large or small, just AmpleHarvest.org/donate or AmpleHarvest.org/support. If you're looking for a speaker, by the way, and I, with COVID hopefully winding down, I am getting back out on the road and I do keynote speeches actually globally. If you go to AmpleHarvest.org/speaker, you can learn more about the talks that I give and connecting. But if you just have a question, ampleharvest.org/info, If you just have a question, send the question to info@ampleharvest.org. And also please follow us. We're on Facebook, Instagram. We're getting onto TikTok. We're still trying to figure out really what you do there. I frankly never have seen Dancing Tomatoes, so I have to see how that's going to work there. But we'd love to have your ideas, your support. If you know, if you are a gardener, if you're friends with a gardener, if you're married to a gardener, tell them about AmpleHarvest.org. If you belong to a house of worship, by the way, that has a food pantry, or if you've gone to a food pantry yourself, go to AmpleHarvest.org and pretend you're a gardener and try to look them up. If they're not in our system, go to the food pantry manager and say, this is a great program. They can help your food pantry clients get fresh food for free. The food pantry manager should sign up and just tell the food pantry manager four things. It's free. They don't need internet. They don't need refrigeration, and it's free. Say that free part twice. That's really, really important to them. And lastly, you know, we're talking now in December of 2021. As the gardening season comes this in 2022 and in future years, think about if you can garden, maybe if you have a garden, if you can expand it, and look around for the plants that grow well. If you're going to go to the stores and buy, whether it's Bonnie Plant type of products or you want to buy seeds or whatever, plant what you can and grow enough to enjoy for your own family. And whatever surplus you have, you come to AmpleHarvest.org to find a food pantry near you that would be eager to take it. It'll be going to one of your neighbors in need. So we'd love your ideas, we'd love your input, and we'd certainly love your support. And so I want to thank you very much. This has been a wonderful conversation. Really, really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and the people who are going to be seeing this. So thank you.
Awesome, Gary. It has been an honor and pleasure to speak with you today and hear about your passions and hear about all your achievements and what AmpleHarvest.org is doing. And again, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and speaking with us, because we know that you're making a big difference in this world, and we can't wait to share what you're doing with all of our listeners.
Let me close with this. Thank you for the kind words. I want to say that I appreciate you saying that I'm making a big difference. But the real big difference comes from the gardener in the community who donates. And by analogy, as a kid, I once asked my mother why the guy in the black coat was waving a stick and getting the applause when all the musicians were the ones making the music. It's really the musicians who get the applause. So it's the gardeners who are really making the difference when they donate the food. Be safe, share the bounty of your harvest with the community, and you'll feel wonderful about it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.